Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So in this passage from the book of Acts, you have Paul and Barnabas. They're kind of missionary partners together. They're traveling around the Grecian area, going from city to city, sometimes planting churches, doing a lot of preaching. Quite often, they're going to places where they know there's a lot of Jewish people there, and Paul will then use the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, to talk about Jesus with the people. In this case, they go to a city in which there doesn't appear to be any synagogue or that many Jewish worshipers. So here, Paul is speaking out on the street, and he sees a man who is lame from birth, and Paul just simply says to him, "Stand up," and the man is healed. And this throws everything awry. Because here in this city, there's people who we call polytheistic. They worship many gods. Here we have two of them listed, Zeus and Hermes. They worship gods for everything, whether it's the crops in the ground and a god that would give good growth throughout the year and a good harvest. They worship that god. They worship Poseidon, the god of the sea. They worship the gods of war and the god of love and all these things. If there's something out there that needs a god, they have a god for that. They see Paul do this miracle, and they think, well, this must be a manifestation of one of our gods. And so they call Barnabas Zeus, and they refer to Paul as Hermes because Hermes is kind of the spokesperson for the Greek gods, and the temple is just down the street, and the priest is there, so they start bringing sacrifices to make sacrifice to Zeus and Hermes, who they think is Paul and Barnabas. And Paul just sees everything going pear-shaped really quickly. And so he tries to put a quick stop to it. Give up all this foolishness. Turn from these vain things and turn to a living God. And even then, as Paul says this, he doesn't even get to mention the name of Jesus. He barely can keep the people from offering sacrifice to him. Now, we don't live in a culture that has many gods like this. We don't have a name for the god of agriculture or a name for the god of government or the god of family or things like this. By and large, in American culture where we have one God, even if you're not Christian, if you're Jewish or Muslim, you have one God. There are places in the world still where there are many gods. But Scripture teaches us, and the first commandment especially teaches us, that in our heart of hearts, none of us truly worship only one God. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods." Luther will say that if we were able to follow just that one commandment, we would not be sinners. But I look at myself, and I look at you and the rest of this world, and I know we're sinners. And so it must stand to reason then that we don't follow that commandment very well. So even though we don't have the God of agriculture that we pray to for a good harvest, even though we don't have the God of love that we pray to for a spouse or some sad, lonely-looking God that we pray to for a victory on Sunday for the Minnesota Vikings, even though we don't have those things, we still have many gods. Luther says that that thing to which we look for all goodness, or that thing to which we look for refuge in time of need, that is our God. And so we ask ourselves this morning, what foolish, what vain things do we turn to rather than to the living God? Do you turn to yourself as a source of strength to get through whatever trial you're going through? Do you look to yourself for some inner strength and that you and you alone are the one you can trust to get you through this? Do you look to family, to mom and dad, to a spouse as your place of refuge, that no matter what's going on in the world and no matter what's going on in my life, there I can always go as a place of refuge? Do you look to your bank account as a place of security where all good comes from? Do you look to money as the source of security and strength? Do you look to a relationship or to love as that place of refuge and goodness? Do you look to government for these things? If so, these are your gods. And your heart looks exactly like that city of Lystra. That at maybe one point in your life, you go down the street and you worship at this temple. At another point, you see a need over here, so you go worship at this temple. At another time, you go worship over here, because that's where you get the good and the refuge you need. The people of Lystra in Acts, they looked to and they attributed to various gods and rituals all the good that they received, all the refuge they received. But Paul reminds them here as he tries to get a word in before they start sacrificing a bull to him. He reminds them that even though God hasn't ever fully revealed himself to these people in Jesus Christ, that God was always there providing for them. That God showed himself to them in the good that he gave them, even when they didn't recognize him as doing so. He tells them, it's the living God who gave you this rain, gave you this good crop, gave you the gladness of your heart that you might be satisfied. The living God has done this. In our lives, we will receive security and comfort and strength and love from family, from our bank accounts, hopefully from the government. We'll receive these things from love, from relationships, from ourselves. But what we need to realize is that behind it all is the provision of the loving and living God, revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Your Lord is the one who gives you the rain, the good crop, the security, the safety, the government, all these things, our family, who makes our hearts glad and does so even when we don't give him credit for it. But the heart that sees and trusts where all goodness comes from, where all refuge comes from, is the one that is ready to stand firm in times of trouble, when other things fail us, when that relationship and love fail us, when government fails us, when family fails us, when the bank account fails us, when you yourself fail you yourself. When we see and trust that behind all the goodness we have is our providing and living God, we then can stand firm. Quite often when I'm preparing a sermon, the hardest thing actually is to close it. I'm never sure how to end Thankfully for you, it does end. I think the best way today to end this is to stand together, to open our red hymnals, turn to hymn number 340, because we're going to sing together On Christ the Solid Rock. Just the first verse, because this is the good confession. And it is what we believe. It is about our living God, our provider. So hymn number 340, we'll sing the first verse. After we're done, please remain standing. We'll confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.